is real.
We're in.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is July 15th, 2019. Welcome to the Curie Beach Town Council meeting. Like to have the invocation and pledge of allegiance from Commissioner Ellen, please.
Okay. Please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord God, we ask for your guidance and direction as we come together and meet here today. Grant us the strength to manage the challenges ahead and the wisdom to identify those as opportunities as we strive to serve the residents of Curie Beach. As we make decisions on their behalf, grant us the gift of an open mind, willingness to learn, humility to accept the ideas of others. Please help us to recognize diversity as a blessing and let unity be our strength. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item is approval of the consent agenda items.
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, no changes. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, the consent agenda is approved as stands. Adoption of the regular agenda. Any changes suggested for the regular agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to add under the closed session that we also discuss an attorney-client privilege.
Attorney-client privilege. Any comments on that, gentlemen?
Yes, sir. Make a motion we approve as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes. Okay, discussion and consideration of persons to address council. Beth, do we have anybody signed up to address council this evening?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's make sure.
We've had some exciting meetings lately, so it's good to have one that's moving along. Okay, we now have the, I know I'm going to get this incorrect. I need to go to Clean Water Management Trust Fund presentation on the activity for the feasibility study for the downtown filter process, right? Wastewater. Now, as you get started, I would just like to make a point, and that point would be that you're a professional engineer. So, given that, you have a great advantage over me. I'm just a finance guy, right?
I understand.
But so, would you prefer, as I read through this report, I may have a few questions. Would you prefer I wait them to the end or until I think they would be appropriate?
I'm a very informal guy, so okay. If anybody has any questions,
bring them.
Just
up. All right.
Holler.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Jonathan Hinkle with LDSI. With me is Lauren from North Carolina Coastal Federation. A little bit about LDSI. Originally, it was started by Mr. David Bowles out of High Point, North Carolina. Started primarily as a surveying company. Evolved over time. Several years ago, I come on as a PE, and we started offering water resource engineering, stormwater management, watershed, stormwater master planning, stream and wetland restoration, as well as traditional surveying. North Carolina Coastal Federation 501c3, Some of the goals, clean water, protecting the coastline, is kind of their motto, started in 1982. So Mr. David has a favorite quote that when the only tool you own is a hammer, every problem begins to resemble a nail. So what's the best tool for a project? We see, and I will say this is not OSHA compliant, but for this guy, the ladder's the best tool. For the guy standing on top of this guy is the best tool. And why I bring that up is at LDSI, we like to pride ourselves in that we like to make sure that we use the best tools for each project that we work on. So Curry Beach infiltration history, in 2006, through the Clean Water Management Trust Fund, there was some digging infiltration that was put in on LM and K. L Avenue allowed no water to bypass during 25 monitored storms. M Avenue, no bypass, 20 out of 25. And you can see some back here reductions. We had 7,600 colonies down to 1.5 colonies, and Intercoccus from 1298 down to 10. That comes from NC State's paper they did with ASCE.
When was that finished? Does that include Florence or not for L Avenue?
That does not include Florence. The paper was done, if I'm not mistaken, in 2008-2009 time frame.
Thank
so
you.
That was from the installation event.
I'm sorry, one more. No. Jimmy, did FEMA have to reimburse anything on these two systems? Did we have to do any repairs? No? Okay, thank you.
So here's some of the site characteristics of L&M. If you look, we have a lot of our sites are similar to the M site in that we have roughly an 8-acre watershed for most of our study area. So let me explain how these systems work. Water comes in. Do y'all need the microphone, or am I talking loud enough? Because I like to move around. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, move around.
Do we need to move this, Nancy? Do we need to move the tape for him? Okay, go ahead, sir.
So the water comes into the system, and this is basically half a perforated pipe, HDPE pipe. Water comes in, hits on this gravel media, and then it can infiltrate to the sand bed underneath the dune. So simple. Water comes in, infiltrates, and or bypasses. So if the water is in the chamber and it's backing up, then it comes on out and outfall and goes into the ocean. So what brings me here, the recent Clean Water Management Trust Fund grant application, partners, of course, the town, Coastal Federation, NCDOT Hydraulics Unit, NC State Bio and Ag Engineering Department. Grant goals, reduce stormwater discharge, reduce bacteria discharge, reduce the potential of human contact, and be complementary with the existing stormwater infrastructure.
So how much does it add much resistance at all to flows in a storm event? Just in general.
You design it so that there is minimal obstructions. There are going to be some.
I understand. So it's minimal, like 5%, 10%, or just in general?
It's more. It has more to do with head. So you have a head loss there. You're not going to notice a percentage reduction. So in other words, if I've got a 24-inch pipe, I can't tell you that it's going to have a 10% ineffective flow area. So it doesn't work like that.
Okay.
Can you tell me what this chamber looks like? But that, are we talking about a plastic bubble? Are we talking about a pit in the ground? I just don't know.
So if you've got a piece of pipe, no different than you see the black pipe that might be out here underneath a driveway crossing.
Okay.
If you take that black pipe, what we call HDPE pipe, and cut it in half. Okay. So then you have an arch. So that arch sits on top of the stone. That's what it is. And all that does is open up void space. So 57 Stones has about 60% void space, and that arch has 100% void space. You can get a lot more water in there than if you just filled it all with stone. So way back when the Greeks and Romans did this, they used stone, and so we're just advancing a little bit, so we're using arch pipes to hold that void space up.
Now, does that pipe keep silt and things out to prevent it from being basically filled up and ineffective? Or because I know I was reading about the groundwater in your report.
So right here you have a sediment accumulation chamber or a sediment trap, and you can use a back truck. So over time it will get sediment and the drought matter in there, and you can use a back truck to suck it out on this end and this end here. So in this picture I just had on the screen.
Can you compare this to aqueducts? You mentioned the Romans?
The aqueducts are going to be up above.
Okay.
This would be more underground cistern type.
Just thinking how they work, okay.
So this is one of the monitoring wells, but you also see some that are similar to this that are just a maintenance cap.
Okay.
I like these questions.
Now, and Jimmy, have we had to vacuum it out at all for L&M yet?
Not yet.
Do we test them so we know when
sir.
We need to? So you check it every 6 months or something? Okay.
And we do have a what we call them clogs, the big arms. We have a couple of them. We got them by the sale.
Yeah. Do we do that prior to a storm to make sure that there's any pressure back into the infrastructure?
So far we haven't had no problem.
The engineering camp from North Carolina State comes every year, and they take them out and they look into each one of the holes.
Oh, okay.
And they put a piece of the pipe down and show the kids how it works. And they actually, they are monitoring the sediment going into those top pipes.
Then they did it a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know, one more thing since we're on the structure, and I apologize.
No problem.
And now, this dome shape, can these things fail during a storm and damage the dune? Like, since that's a cap over that stone, can that be pushed aside, or the dune would have to fail before that happens, I guess?
So basically what would happen, and Florence would be one that there could be some probability. Mm-hmm. I'm a different engineer than most, because I'm not going to say that everything is engineered perfect, because it's not.
Right.
So as we have that wave action, and if Florence were to sit here another 6 days, 7 days, something like that, and that wave action would have inundated, you could have lost the dune. The dune failed, and then the infiltration system failed after the dune failed.
Right.
So it's going to be closer to a dune failure as the primary action, and then your secondary action would be the infiltration system.
Okay, that I can understand. I just wanted to make sure that the primary action of that failing wouldn't impact the dune.
I
didn't think it would, but
I don't see that happening.
Okay.
So this is the groundwater. NC State did the groundwater and water quality data. This is at K Avenue. You can see pretty stable groundwater at about 2.5. We did have some high peaks all the way up here to 6. And one about 4.75. Also had water quality, Intercoccus, you see in April and May, just for reference, standard for human contact 104, MPN for 100, so we had several tests that were over 104. Existing drainage, this is a picture of Davis Avenue. See the culvert is discharging right now. These are NCDOT outfalls, so they originally put these in. Watershed is a mixed use, of course, primary residential.
So would those they would still be at the end. They'd be buried, right? I mean, you still have to have an outfall eventually.
Correct.
So that doesn't go away. So we'll still be fixing them in storms. It just reduces what's coming out of them, basically.
That is correct. So it is, Well, fixing them during a storm, it depends on the severity of the storm, of course. But yes, they are still for someone to maintain. So it doesn't go. So we did a survey on the six outfalls. One important point to look at, if you look at our inverse, this happens to be I of it. So your invert out is 7.76. Inverts on this side of the island, this side of the town is a little bit lower than LM and K. So just something to keep in mind.
Yep.
So I Avenue, upstream catch basin 7.5, rainfall depth of 1 inch. We get that from our stormwater design. We had several meetings, several phone call discussions that our goal of this project was essentially started up here of what can we do so that water doesn't discharge. We know we can't stop all of it, but let's have it as a goal of no discharge. And that's kind of the maximum. And then we kind of worked down from it. So where we got to was roughly about 98-99% over a 20-year monitoring period, or sorry, 10-year monitoring period from 1995 to 2005. But we started with a static 1-inch rainfall amount that computes to 108,000 gallons. That gives us a dune or an infiltration width, basin width of 30 feet by 80 feet for about 0.05 acres. That roughly equates to about 2,000 square feet.
I'm sorry, why was your rainfall data so old? 2005? I mean...
That's a great question. You will have to have a serious discussion with NOAA. And so basically NOAA updates their rainfall data about every 8, 9, 10 years. That's all they will secure funding for.
Okay.
So we are running really old climatic data. It's the nature of the beast. So I would love to have instantaneous climate data, but it doesn't exist.
I hate to keep interrupting you.
No problem.
My question deals with when we are trying to take this bacteria and improve the quality of the water that is coming through our systems. When DEQ measures things, aren't they measuring the ocean water?
They are.
So when that ocean water looks like tea and we're just putting clean water in it, that really, it may help us a little bit, but we're just talking about the quality of what we are putting in the ocean, not what's in the ocean already.
In a roundabout way. So if you are adding to the issue, then you are a contributor. If you are turning it off, there is a philosophy that you're no longer a contributor. Because if I've got a really low stream, but it's really hot, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to get to this number, even a real low stream can affect it. Whereas if I take and I cut this low stream off that's really hot, I may have the T, as you described it, could dilute itself or be at a moderate range to where it's closer to this number.
Okay. Because I noted in your report that you looked at when we had a report from DEQ and they wanted to not let people swim, that really was not necessarily measuring from our output, it was really measuring what the ocean was at the time.
It is how recreational or shellfish sanitation
right. pressure. And we have that north-south flow in the winter, I guess, David, and the south-to-north flow in the summer.
You're talking about the current?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where we pick up things from the river. And okay, I just wanted to make sure that I understand what the value of this is,
sure.
and why grants would be important.
So, at a 0.05 acres, we assess based on the previous report analysis that is done at LNMK. The study showed about 4 inches an hour. That produces an infiltration rate of 46 hours to infiltrate all that 108,000 gallons. So the team, which consists of the town, Coastal Federation, NC State, DOT, developed this multi-criteria decision matrix. So we looked at all six outfalls and come up with 11 questions and then assess the multiplier. And what this is for is ranking all six outfalls. If we had, we could not fund all $600,000 worth of projects, which project would rank out first? G come to the top of the list. One of the reasons that G was to the top of the list was watershed size and lower cost, relatively speaking. So one of the things about the grants is innovation and trying to be innovative. The dune infiltration, obviously it was installed in 2006, so is word on the street, kind of some type of discussions that Clean Water is having, as well as other reviewers, is dune infiltration still innovative? So one thing that we discussed as a team was the diverter box. Kind of answers some of y'all, gets back to some of y'all's questions y'all had earlier about cleaning out the outfall. The sediment gets clogged during several meetings down here. We observed Florence likes to clog the outfalls with sand. So the way these work is we have inflow coming in from upstream, hits a series of flashboard risers. For those that are familiar with the ag sector, flashboard risers, just a piece of aluminum, stop block, put it in, it raises the water table, crops get better. Same concept here, cut it off, water flows to the dune infiltration system, pull the boards, significant thunderstorm or something like that's coming through, flush that sediment out. Funding opportunities, we've got NCEEG, USEPA 319, Clean Water Management Trust Fund again, Water Resource Development Project Grants, and NCDOT MPDES Retrofit Program. Next steps, council to review our ranking and prioritize, secure funding, implement the plan. Questions?
I think I hit most of mine. David hit some of them too.
So, is your thought the diverter box, which is different from what we currently have, that just helps position it better for grant support?
Yes, sir. It'll help position it better, as well as it does improve and makes maintenance easier for the total or the outfall system. So the thought process there is, if you can have some velocity in that outfall pipe, if it can flush that sediment out, there would be less maintenance of digging that outfall out.
Right, but the issue is Public Works has to go pull all those flashboards, right?
That is correct.
During a storm or right after a storm, so in the rain.
There is, we're talking about cost here, but there are automated processes that could be hooked up, but it's costly. So it's a decision on whether we want to go full boards or whether we want to.
Well, and it'll break, and then we'll be fixing that.
That's correct. Yeah.
So how is that like a once a quarter storm you'd recommend? I mean, what's the maintenance process that you would recommend with that flashboard system?
I would say once a quarter would not be a bad thought process, but it's going to be
during a rain event. So you got to wait for the rain and then get it. Okay.
Is that, what type of additional cost does that bring up? 10% more?
10 to 20%.
Okay. We don't want automated board pullers out there on the beach. They'll break. I mean, it'd be a mess.
No.
Jimmy will be fixing them versus having a guy pull them.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
And so what's the timing that council has to say yes to apply for a grant, or we just have to say we support it?
It varies. Each one of them have various deadlines on, you know, the...
Yeah, I mean, I've got some information on some of the funding that I'd like to share. I mean, one source of funding coming up pretty quickly is the Environmental Enhancement Grant Program. That's a grant program that has just been put back in action, and their actual letter of intent is due August 19th. But I really think that would be a good funding source to consider. What is the total for all of them? Did you say 600?
I think it's around 650.
So the thing with the Environmental Enhancement Grant Program, I mean, with the North Carolina Coastal Federation, we have a grant writer, so we would, you know, be interested in partnering with the town on this, you know, along with LDSI and other partners. But it's the more partners you put into place, the more attractive the grant applications are. If you chose to apply for this Environmental Enhancement Grant Program, what that is, it's Smithfield Food money. It's from a lawsuit win and the Department of Justice, and it's funding that they put out to do clean water projects. So the goal of all of this is to reduce the volume of stormwater getting into the water. So you think about the swimming advisory, y'all. It's an economic benefit for the town to not have those discharges going into the ocean water and causing swimming advisories and illnesses and so forth. So anyway, that's one that's coming up.
Do you know what the cost sharing is on that?
Pardon me?
Is it a 50-50?
It's not a 50-50 cost share, but they provide up to $500,000 max for three-year projects. But they do strongly encourage that you seek additional funding. And we could send y'all the link to that funding source. So it definitely makes it more attractive. But the things that you can match up with that are, for example, if your public works department goes in and uses y'all's equipment and your time to help construct and build these projects, that certainly goes toward that, you know, match. The other thing that's interesting, I think y'all saw in the report the different sources of funding, but once we submitted the report, one thing that I left off is the Department of Transportation. And they actually called us and said, hey, we might want to be a part of these projects and putting them in the ground. And that's a great opportunity, but they benefit as well. So let me explain that the Department of Transportation, NCDOT, they have what's called an MPDES stormwater permit. And part of that permit requirement for stormwater is that they have to do a series of retrofits every year. I think they have to do a total of
13.
Okay, retrofits per year. So they don't quite seem to have a system to it. I mean, I don't know if I want to say that on the record really, but it doesn't. I think they would welcome, if we gave them, you know, shovel-ready projects, then they would be willing to put this in. Now, the tricky thing to this is that the grant funding won't pay for a permit requirement. So we have to word this carefully, but we can do it. So that, you know, that the EEG money went toward a certain component to it, and then the DOT funding went to another. But that's one source, and then what Jonathan was mentioning with the Clean Water Management Trust Fund, that's a source of funding. Those applications, I think, are due in December of this year. The RFP, the application is available in December, and the deadline, like for this year, was in February, and then, it would be the fall of 2020, it looks like, before that kind of funding, but they like innovative thing, so that's why we, you know, designed that way to be innovative as well. There's a Section 319 grant program, but you have to have a watershed restoration plan that's approved by the state for that one. That's not something that's out of the question, though. But anyway, there's some other sources, but I think there's some opportunities there.
Okay. Nancy wrote us a very good memo. I don't know if y'all had a chance to read it. Where she outlines some of the available funding sources. Thank you, Nancy. You also have a next step recommended here. You still believe that's the right next step to take?
Mm-hmm. What I told you was that they asked you for proposals to move forward with funding opportunities, and we have a design in here that has to be done too, right? I don't know if that would fit together, and then come back with what you find in terms of funding so that council has a better idea of what to take. be, and they can decide whether to move forward with installation.
Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
It would be almost be a phase two.
Phase two.
Where we apply for grants. You can puzzle for how much it would cost for you to apply for the grants and LDSI.
So what the council is looking for is what you need from us now. If you have a grant deadline of August 15th, at least a letter of intent, what council has to do now, because that's before our next meeting, for you to meet that letter of intent. So what do you need from the town council right now to put in a letter of intent?
I mean, you know, you never have to accept something until the contract time. I think my advice would be that if you all want to move forward with installing either one or all of these projects, that you consider at least letting us help you write a letter of intent to EEG, because then that's the Environmental Enhancement Grant, and because then what they have to do is they have to then come back and accept your letter of intent and invite you to apply. And then once that way we can get past that August 19th deadline. Mm-hmm. But then if you decide later on, after you know mulling this over a little bit more and getting any other additional information that we can provide, if you decide you don't want to apply, you certainly don't have to apply. But at least you'd have your foot in the door with that particular funding, because that's the first one coming up, and that's the one that you're most eligible for, and I think the one that would be most attractive because of all the different partners.
Well, I think Arlen's back there. I'll let him echo. But the council just would sort of want to know an idea of, okay, best case, worst case, how much funding, right? So if you said EEG program would pay up to $500,000 and the total package was six something, I didn't add the math, it was 620 something, that's worst case for the town of $120,000. But if they're less than that, do we still have to do the, are we committed to do the full package? And they only come up with $200,000, or how does that work with them if they say, okay, Curie Beach, we'll give you $200,000. Can we pick less of the total project?
Yeah, you have to, because if you're saying that it costs $600,000 to do this, and then they only give you two, they can't expect you to do the whole project for the lesser amount.
That's what we want to know. Are we committed?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Mm-hmm. And okay. You're not committed to anything until you sign a contract. Right. You can just even say, forget it, but.
So the letter.
I think we need to get together more specific budgets then, and what the funding sources would be. Like we need to see if we could get a general, not commitment number, but from DOT, and then we could figure out. Maybe you could help us, Nancy, figure out like the Public Works provided, you know, say however many hours of construction time and use this equipment. How much that's worth?
Well, thinking about it on the fly, the way we could word the grant and letter of intent is a phase, and phasing being G, H, J, I, however we.
Well,
this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and have them on that task, break them out as line items. And then the funding could be in accordance with line items. What would be one possible?
Right. Well, I think, I mean, I don't want to speak for council or the finance officer, but I think from my standpoint, the town is willing to put funding in for stormwater improvements, and this is a great one. We just have to fit it in with everything else. And so we would want them, we'd want to ask for it all and then see what they say. Because my argument to council is if they're going to spend $500,000, we should put in $100,000 to get it all done at one time and tear the dunes up one time instead of piecemealing around, right? But if they're only going to put in $200,000, I don't know that council would support $400,000 from the citizens, because the citizens might not really like that very much. And I wouldn't blame them. I'm one of them too, right?
Well, as long as we're not committing to anything.
That's right.
I say move forward with it.
Yeah. So do we need consensus or a vote, Nancy?
I think the consensus you're saying is that you submit a proposal, then Coastal Federation submits a proposal for how much you can charge the town to move forward with the funding.
It probably has to come from us, right?
Well, I think what we, I mean, I'm sorry if I misunderstood, but I think what we recognize too is just with the deadline that we need kind of approval to move forward with doing a letter of intent, because they're not going to meet to approve a budget, but if we could go draft a letter and then send that to, I mean, would that even be possible to draft a letter and then send it to them and then get an electronic approval? But I don't know.
No, we can approve it right now, and then the mayor will sign it. So I think I understand. You guys got other questions? And then we're ready to make a motion.
Well, the only thing that I'm, what I believe we're offering here is a letter of intent from the town to proceed with you based on the costs you've identified, predicated on the amount of grant money that we will receive to support that activity. And then the depth of that contract will be dependent on whatever we get from that grant structure. But and to get that grant structure started, we need to have a letter of intent.
But if the $500,000 doesn't come about, then we're not out of anything.
That's right.
No,
exactly.
No,
we haven't committed
right.
to anything.
Yeah.
Right.
But we need to pay for them to move forward.
So
our grant funds.
Yep.
No, not me right now. I mean, no, this would only be if
so if all of that, what the Lawrence get to is if we're helping the town with a letter of intent,
and we're
committing 8 hours or whatever, there's no charge for that.
Right.
We're okay.
I got it. Right. I'm with you.
Our goal is to get that stormwater out of there as an organization.
Exactly right.
Now, he's kind of like... He's different. He's more money than I know. He's an engineer.
He's okay. So
engineers cost money.
That's
how it works.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
well,
because. So what we're talking about then is we should have a motion here about to work with LDSI to develop a letter of intent for these systems, predicated on the amount of.
I make a motion to direct the town clerk to work with the two organizations to make a letter of intent to the Environmental Enhancement Grant Program to meet the August 15th deadline and give the mayor authority to sign that and send it on.
Second.
And just for the record, it's August 19th.
August 19th, sorry. Yeah. I wrote down 15th. I'll fix it.
Okay, we'll make that. So we... Yes, Nancy?
What about other grants?
Well, that,
yeah, I mean, can we go ahead and start having conversations with DOT and let them know that you all want to move forward with the funding? I mean, I think that would be the best.
Yeah, thank
look,
you.
Look, since they're a source of grant funding, yes.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't see that as a problem.
Do we need a second motion, or you want me to amend mine? That's very good.
The other thing, and it opens up an entirely new revenue stream, and I don't think the town has one, it's one that I would highly recommend. We've worked with, Coastal Federation has done several of them, but in order to get the EPA 319 funding, you have to have a watershed restoration plan. I would suggest the town going in that just to open up federal dollars is what that does, because increased pressure.
So they count the Atlantic Ocean as a watershed?
See,
I don't know that makes sense to me. I'd have to see more of what it is, if you could forward us information, but that doesn't make sense to me.
Carolina Beach is working on one right now, but that's a little bit different situation.
Yeah, they have the basin.
Yeah. They're working on
just
their
send
basin.
Me if you could send the council information, I don't know that a watershed restoration plan for the Atlantic Ocean makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying the feds don't do unsensical things, but that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have a motion before us that was seconded. Any further discussion? Gentlemen. Citizens. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work, gentlemen and ladies. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Community Center, Mickey's on vacation. Marketing Committee, no feedback today. Shoreline Access and Beach Protection. Planning and Zoning, any input, Craig?
Updates. One, we're continuing to push ahead on looking at the historic district. We received a model report template from the state government as to the process and what the report should look like. We're going to be following that. I'm in the process of talking with the history department at UNCW to see if I can get an intern or two to assist us with this. So that's pushing ahead, I think. Another thing, too, is we talked a little bit about graffiti issues. I just came back from Southern California in the beach communities, and you know, they're having a real big problem in California, for example, with graffiti in beach communities. A couple different reasons for that, so I did some additional checking, and that seems to be kind of a theme that you're hearing now in beach communities. We don't have a problem right now with Curie Beach, but we kind of think about you know, the future and what some possibilities are. One of the major things when I talked to the city or the town manager of a couple of beach communities in California is that free parking. Free parking is the number one draw for graffiti problems because if gangs come in from the area, they always go to, they don't want to pay for parking, obviously. And so people that want to do tagging, you know, things like that, will tend to go to beach areas that have free parking and park and stuff like that. So anyway, you may hear something from planning and zoning in a couple of months about a recommendation for maybe a graffiti abatement type of thing, because we really don't have anything right now within the town to kind of deal that. I was a city council member in a town, city of Bishop Gale in California. We had zero graffiti, and then one night we had 256 taggings. And there's all sorts of research to show that property values go down about 20% if you have graffiti and all that sort of thing. So things like that can just happen overnight. So anyway, we talked a little bit about that, and so we might be coming back to council in 2 or 3 months with a recommendation there. And those are really the two major things that we're doing. Obviously, I'm sure you know that we're in the process of interviewing for an alternate member. I believe the ad has gone out, and so we may be talking to some people and come up with a recommendation after our next meeting.
So how many people were arrested when you had 243 graffiti taggings in one night?
Nobody. We couldn't find out who did that one, but that was the start of the graffiti problem. I ended up writing the graffiti ordinance for most of Orange County, California at that particular time, because taggers will come in. They're not really associated with a gang. I mean, you do have gang graffitis, but you have taggers will come in, and a lot of them will try to make it look like gang graffiti, so obviously it might be just one person with a spray paint can or something like that that will give an image of gangs now infiltrated. You know, after we put together the ordinance, then the ordinances are typically two-pronged. One is identification of who's causing that and maybe offering a reward for prosecution of whoever's causing that, and also a quick abatement on both public and private property related to that. And that's the best way to deal with these type of issues. Again, Curie Beach doesn't have the problem. Generally, Wilmington doesn't have the problem, but again, just hearing from, you know, and reading several articles about beach communities just in the last couple of years, beach communities are starting to have major problems with graffiti.
Well, it was a few years ago, our neighbors had a problem at their
skating park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you were to call it. I don't know if they came up with something that might be worthwhile to look at.
Oh, yeah. We just started talking about this. We don't have anything, you know, to
okay.
Council.
All right.
Well, we're one for one on graffiti this year. Nice job, Chief. So we had a parking graffiti, and they were convicted or caught the next day or the day after. So I think we're one for one.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty obvious, though.
Whatever. Still one for one. 100% is 100%.
We like to win the obvious.
That's right.
The others are tougher.
There you go.
Okay.
Bowden said the only graffiti we've had is what's been on the south end, down at Fort Fisher.
The county property.
Nothing within town or at the Oceanfront Park. So. Okay.
Well, there was a couple of words spray painted in the park, the Oceanfront Park.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that it, Craig?
That's it.
All right. Thank you. Discussion and consideration of Department Head Business Administration. Nancy. Okay. Or Mandy. Okay. Building Inspections Department. John's not here today. Finance Department.
I'll just let the council know that our loan for the water meter replacement project of over $1.3 million was approved by the LBC last Tuesday. We'll close the loan with BB&T this Thursday. And you know, we'll be ready to go once all the contracts are signed up for the installation.
The only thing I would mention about finance is I would like to thank you, Arlen, and the department heads as I looked at what is almost the final budget. In general, there was approximately, or we're running at about 6% under the modified budget, which is, thank you. That's $300,000 that can be used in other places. So we'll see what the finals come in, but anytime you come in less than expected, it is appreciated. Thank you all. Fire department?
Nothing, sir.
No? Okay. Police department?
Nothing, sir.
Well, I do have something to say to you.
Here we go.
If you would thank the, and to you, Ed. Thank the men, please, for it was a busy month. June was a busy month. There was a lot of focus on ticketing, not in a bad way, talking about managing parking. So I think you guys did a good job. There were not a lot of complaints that came up to council. I think you mastered it and handled it very well. And time will tell, but thank you for your work. And thanks for all the rescues, the ones in the water and the ones out of the water in town. All right. Public Works.
Just a couple of updates about the maintenance of downtown bar. The hand dryer has been bought and purchased. It should be in this week. I can't guarantee. Water fountains, we had to replace them, so they've been ordered. And also the boardwalk lights, I've also got proposals on them, which I put in the budget for this year to replace all the lights anyway. So that's where we stand on that.
Did I notice, Jimmy, that the guys replaced the area, the boardwalk, that was a little bit, had a little damage to it?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I saw them out there working on that. Yeah, so thank you. Thank the guys, too. It's a busy time of the year, particularly with the garbage truck.
Jimmy, is that the solar crossovers, too, at E and I, the lights? Did you look at those as well?
No, sir. I hadn't looked at them, but he could not find anything wrong. And I wasn't sure what you wanted me to have him look at.
I think the reporters, the lights just aren't working. I assume you got to do an override so that take out the light sensor and see. But
okay.
I know it was reported by a citizen. I haven't walked down there at night because I'm out of town all the time.
He'll be down here this week.
I assume in that box there's an override so he can switch off the light sensor so he can turn them on and see which ones are burnt out. But
okay.
I don't know. I didn't look at it, but it was just reported.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jimmy. Recreation Department? Okay. I think he's not here. Discussion and consideration of old business. Social media policy. Mandy. Yes.
And I don't know if you have a chance to kind of read through that and look over it.
Did the departments, did it get forwarded to them? I think Ocean Rescue and Fire Department's the one needs to know if they'll conform, if they're in conformance to it. So okay. They all see it as well. Do any other departments have Facebooks or Twitters or anything social?
It's just Ocean. Fire has one. I just spoke with the chief today. They do have one.
Yeah.
No. This is just. It's a basic policy. It's
right.
Not super, super detailed.
Right.
I know Nikki has looked at it and she was okay with it. She didn't see anything that we needed to add or take away in it as well. So the main departments using social media would be Nikki's Department for Recreation and then the Fire Department and Ocean Rescue.
Have you looked at it, Ed? Do you know if you conform or not?
I have not.
I can see it to you.
Yeah. And that's all I'm asking, just are we conformers to the policy we're getting ready to adopt or not?
I talked with Nikki about it before she headed out of town. She was good with it as it was presented.
I mean, I like the guidelines, what we can do to prevent it from becoming a groaning board, so to speak. and make it useful for everyone as a tool to communicate. I don't know if y'all had the opportunity to look through it. Do you have any questions for Mandy?
I liked it. I thought it covered the bases. It's very basic, as she said. Mm-hmm. As long as we set it up the right way and then manage it, I think it can be a positive force.
I could not think of anything to add to it, Mandy, so that doesn't mean it's great. It just means it's as good as I could have done.
Yeah, so I'm fine with it as well. I just want to make sure that we, if we adopt it, the ocean rescue is in conformance to it. That's all I'm asking Ed to look at. I think he is. The one thing he may not be is keeping the records for however a bazillion years that you have to. And I don't know how you do that on Facebook. I'm assuming there's some way.
Well, the public records law is if you're conducting town business using your social media account. Because this covers Facebook, Twitter.
Right.
It covers all of them. This isn't just a Facebook policy.
So how do they determine if you are? So if we're recruiting lifeguards, is that conducting town business?
It is.
Yeah.
That's what I figured too, right? So that means it's got to be able to conform to the policy.
I would think if it has a town logo associated with it, it's public record.
So for towns that are doing the Facebook thing, and I'm not encouraging us to do it as council, but Ocean Rescue does, we need to give them guidance on how to conform to it so we make sure they are before we adopt it. I think. I mean, I don't know what the right answer is. I'm just saying if we adopt the policy, we either got to tell them to stop or tell them you got to do these extra three things to conform. And I don't know what they are. That's what I'm asking.
I believe we can do the following. Mandy, we have, I think what you have here is okay. Would you please spend time with Ed and with Nikki to make sure that they could comply as defined and come back and tell us in the next council meeting and then we can move forward? Or is it necessary that it be done like right now?
I don't think it has to be done right now. I think we can wait till the next meeting. I think that they would appreciate it maybe if we were to get it done since we are in the midst of summer. It's a good way to promote events and things like that for recreation. But again, that's up to council.
Well, I think we can approve recreation using social media to advertise their events while we're working on the policy.
There's a Cree Beach Market page, isn't there?
What?
There's a Cree Beach Market page, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, there's other things out there. And, I mean,
but Nikki doesn't make a page. Well, she doesn't do that.
Who does that, Paul?
Gail.
Gail? Yeah, Gail's in that business. Okay. Yeah.
So either way would be fine. If you want us to wait till the next meeting.
Well, the other thing I'm thinking, how long would it take to do this in case we ran into a situation where we had a named storm and we wanted to use it to communicate? How long would it take?
My question is that since we are in storm season, during retreat when we brought up Facebook and we were talking about it, we had created a page to use in the event of a storm, and we still have the page. It's inactive, but we still have it. So my next question was, do you want us to activate that page in the event of a named storm that we can keep the public updated?
Do you have an opinion, Joe?
I think if you look at perhaps surrounding towns, you see that they are being paralyzed by what is happening on Facebook, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
I don't think we're debating that at all.
No, but I just don't want that. I mean, I'm torn. We can get the correct information out, but then you get, you know, the hearsay and the I want to say whatever I want to say. And
that's the ones you didn't. That's the ones you removed.
They do it at midnight and everybody's asleep and it's up there for 8 hours. Then you wake up to 30 alerts. Oh my God, Tree Beach is going to.
This says you can turn off.
The police department's going to evacuate everybody tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for the storm.
Can't you approve a post? Don't you have the option to?
This says you can turn off comments, so, man, because I certainly don't want 500 people sending a note saying, check my property.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah,
you won't be able to do that.
I know you can't on Facebook.
You won't be able to do that.
110 requests to check property and 30 new friend requests.
I know.
So,
I mean, you guys know my view of that. It should be one-way communication with the website and the email distribution list, just like we did. And then if we do pictures, we'll do it
To the peer page again.
Yeah, to the peer page. Or we can do it as an active page, but we're not going to do any comments, and we're not going to.
The past 6 months have totally changed my opinion on it from what I've seen. So.
Regarding the hurricane issue, the citizens raved about the information that David was putting out as the emergency manager. Miss Nancy.
It was the team, it wasn't me.
Connected.
That's right.
But it wasn't me, it was the team.
I just read through it. As far as the lifeguard and fire departments related to the social media policy here.
So you don't have any concerns here?
No, I mean, it almost seemed to help. We needed to delete something that was inappropriate.
So how do you keep your records? How do you meet the...
There's a couple of different ways. You can back them up electronically. You can save them electronically.
You can download your information.
You can create a file out there and just screenshot. You can print.
Yeah. I know there's a bunch of ways. That's not what I'm looking for. Tell the whole, whoever's got these, how to do it so we do it right. You can't just depend on them to do it. That doesn't work for me because everyone will have a different Facebook page, and when it comes down to the news wants the records, one department will shine and another will look bad, and that means we look bad. So it's like in the policy, this is how you will save the public records required stuff. And thou shalt do it, and then we audit it every once in a while.
Yeah, we can have that.
Okay.
So we'll that's all I'm asking. Council meeting then?
I'm fine with it.
Okay, what's the will of council?
I think she's bringing it back with how you do
this. I need to bring it back with that.
With how you're meeting the public records requirement.
Okay. So that suggestion was a good one.
And then that way we can hold department heads responsible if they're not, which is even better. I know they'll all do the right thing.
Okay, and what about our Facebook page that we already have for the storm?
I think we keep it inactive for now.
Because we'll have a meeting when we declare a state of emergency. Right. We can discuss it then.
And then we'll decide if we want to reactivate it.
Okay.
Beyond what we already do. I would rather have our folks really trained to keep their focus on the official communications from the emergency manager.
One source that is correct and accurate information.
But so if you need anything else, Mandy, in the next couple of weeks, just let me know.
Okay.
Thank you. Thought it was an effective, good statement. Okay. Stormwater study scope document.
Yep. So
Commissioner Hagler.
Yep. So Mandy's going to put up a 8-page, I hope, PowerPoint somewhere. Yeah, there you go. She's got to switch this over. So in your packet, you had a lot more information, but this is just a real quick recap of where we are right now. Yeah, you can get it. Yeah, there you go. Maybe. Well, there we go. You can go to the next slide.
You want to do it?
Either way.
That's fine. I'm going to read from here then.
Okay.
I was told you couldn't hear me on the last one. Okay, so we're going to talk about the scope work. So, council, you've got all this in the email to council and the department heads. I think it was the week of the 3rd. But we're just going to go through it at a council meeting, right? So really, the project purpose is the same that was sent to you. It's to evaluate stormwater systems that are identified town staff for initial design flows, compare the initial design to current best practice designs, and highlight opportunities for improvement by identifying current limiting factor in each of the evaluated systems. And I'm glad our engineer stayed for this, by the way, because he might be interested in seeing the data, right? The review will include non-town-owned portions of serving systems. So these are HOA-owned ponds and external outfalls through Matsu to serve the identified system. This be the beginning phase of a multi-stage project to review the entire town stormwater system. So I figured we'd focus on the data that was provided at our April meeting by Denise Hubbard, as well as join that data with the building inspector's data from Hurricane Florence. Kind of here's the basic scope of work, and thank you all for your inputs. Provide pricing and timing for each option separately to allow town council to prioritize advertise the project scheduling and funding. Inventory existing stormwater drainage collection system at the owner's specified locations and discharge points from surveys, drawings, and discussions with town staff to document the current as-designed system. Additionally, from this review, highlight the system flow restrictions and provide recommendations on improvements. So this is really to identify at each of the target areas what the limiting factor in the system is. Because in some of these areas, there could be one pipe that if we change that, it changes the whole system. And that's really the important view, is to highlight to us how we could effectively use money to improve issues at specific places in the system. To identify components that are under capacity and provide a recommendation for component sizes for peak stormwater inflows to achieve current stormwater best practices as defined by the state of North Carolina. So many of these systems were put in the late 80s, early 90s. The actual requirements have definitely evolved since that time frame. And so looking at, okay, where were the systems designed for? Where are we at now? Is there things we should look at? Provide recommendations for proposed stormwater drainage improvements with descriptions and cost estimates. Review grant and low interest funding options with the state and federal programs. Review existing ordinances, drainage studies, flood hazard studies, and topography to develop an understanding of the existing conditions in the area. That's kind of a pretty broad scope. We provided multiple annexes. I'm going to go through the annexes with it as well. So the first, this is just a link. This was the presentation that was given at our April meeting by Denise Hubbard, where the Curie Beach Village HOA sent out an electronic survey to the town, and property owners self-identified that they had issues. We cross-referenced that with the towns. Appendix 2 is the stormwater system drawings. So in case council hadn't seen this, this is just the first two of, I believe, 12 drawings that map out the whole system. And basically this shows solid lines are underground pipes, dashed lines are ditches, and circles are manholes or grating, so potentially collection outfall boxes. So basically this is just to give whoever's looking at this our entire system, so when they look at the dots of all the properties, they can cross-reference that with the drainage systems to start looking at which systems feed which properties. This is our current stormwater permits. We pulled all the permits from the state of North Carolina, so we have an access. The yellow permits are ponds, and the reason I highlighted those is Public Works has requested, did a public information request to the state of North Carolina to get all the information for all those specific permits. So we get all of the information on record by the state for both the initial design for ponds as well as their maintenance reports if they have been doing them. So we'll know, okay, are people doing what they're supposed to? We have not been so surprised, we've not been so impressed with the state's record keeping, just to give council a heads up. we also pulled all the permits in their state, and in that record pool, we informed one of the record holders that their permit was expired and encouraged them to rectify the situation. So we'll be following that as well.
I can add to that.
Yes, sir.
I'm in that HOA, and that HOA had its meeting Saturday, and it has a management company, Go Properties, and they have researched that. They agree with this finding, and they're taking care of it.
So we'll be following that as well.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Appendix 4, this is the properties. So green and yellow, so green was in both studies, so following Hurricane Florence reported by the building inspector as having an issue. Yellow was only in his report, not in the electronic survey. Orange are properties that reported to the electronic survey but did not report following Florence that they had any damage. So I'm working with the building inspections department. We will be sending a certified letter to each of these properties requesting what damage they actually had, because that's data you really need to see what's going on. So Florence is kind of a peak event for Curie Beach, for the council, reminder, and the citizens. We had almost 30 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. There were significant stormwater issues throughout the town, and it's important for us to get the data. We are statutorily required by the state to report flooding on property. That's a requirement for our building inspections department. If you remember the emails that we sent out during the storm and following the storm, we notified all property owners that they needed to give us the information so that we could report it both to the state and federal governments, because that's part of our FEMA reporting requirements. These properties did not report, and that's why we're asking them for it. And the ask is the same ask that was reported in the FEMA requirements. So it's just, here's the property, here's the estimated damage. So we're not asking for any crazy information, but just what was your estimated damage on your property from flooding. So we'll see what happens with that. If we get nasty notes, please forward them to me, and I'll be glad to answer them. If you get any emails about the letters, they're going out. And the building inspector hopes to get those out by the end of the week. Kind of our next steps. Once we get the information from the 3 and 4 stuff, we'll provide that in the package for quoting. We've worked with our town engineer. We requested information around this from the DOTS. Since there's another engineer that might be interested in stormwater, I'll get his information and we'll forward some information to them, get a secondary quote. The quote came in late this afternoon, and Jimmy and I haven't had a chance to really look through it, so I don't really want to present it to council yet, because there's some stuff in there we got to make sure it makes sense to what we're asking for. We should have quotes available at the August meeting for council review and discussion. And like we talked about the timing, once we have the quotes, we are asking them to break them up by area so that we can then see what Arlen's budget will support and what council has an appetite for, and then move forward. That'll be the next step, to work for contracting. Any questions about where we are? Any questions on the preview information that you guys got? Did y'all understand it? If you have any questions on the stormwater maps, see me or Jimmy. We'll be glad to go through them in depth with you. But those are our accurate maps. That's all I have for that one. More to come in August. So we'll keep working on it.
Thank you for the update, Commissioner Hegler.
Yes, sir. Here you go, man. I didn't hear that before.
Discussion and consideration of new business sponsorship of the Carolina Beach Bike Rodeo. Mr. Whitley.
Yes, we were asked again. We sponsored this last year, I think, for $500. We gave them $500. They went out and bought, I believe, eight or ten bikes for the Carolina Beach Police Rodeo. I think it's a good thing for us to support this again. We share responsibilities for the island with their police department. This is a goodwill gesture, and
so all these bicycles go to local
yes.
children.
Yes.
Okay, and they are identified. I guess we're on some type of sponsorship notice.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they let us know, so we put in the budget process, so we don't have to do this.
Well, they didn't know. They didn't know if they were going to have it this year.
Well, some of the issues they've been having, they might not have known.
I won't say that. But this was done right at the last moment, and they reached out to me because they spoke to me last year about it.
Okay.
I think it's a good thing to do.
Any discussion on it?
Just ask Harlan where it comes from.
Do I have a motion?
I make a motion we continue the sponsorship of the CV Bike Radio hosted by the Carolina Beach Police Department.
You know where you wanted to come
from? $500.
It'll come out of council's budget.
Yeah, it'll come out of budget.
Council budget. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, that's a huge budget.
So we have a
motion.
Okay, we have a council and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, passes. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
I
was getting ready to message them now to let them know that we needed something to
a request.
To grab onto, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have any additional mayor updates at this time. Any commissioner items to bring forward right now?
Just ask if we can send out to our email, since now there's been a tropical depression through the Gulf, could we send a reminder to our citizens that they need to sign up for our email/text message distribution system?
That's a good idea.
And can you forward that to Willard? Willard, can you put in the news again? There you go.
One thing, we did get permission to walk the
ditches?
Ditches, that's what
quarterly, so
yeah.
Did they say the process to do that?
No, but I was going to say, do I need to reach out to them? Because it's July, if we need to do that perhaps about...
I'm waiting on security clearance. I have a surveyor set up who's going to identify the ditches also because I can't see them on Google Map. We have their information with Moxie Security. I'm waiting for clearance. Once we get clearance, and the surveyor can come back there and map out.
Was didn't know if Public Works needed to do it or something. Hopefully by the end of August, because that'll put an inspection right before we hit our peak season.
Well, I would assume we'd go with the surveyor. Jimmy, you'd have somebody go with?
Yes.
I mean, and when the person goes, ask them to look at the ditches if there's problems so we can identify them.
Before right. something happens.
Because then we'll start negotiating to let us clean them out.
Well,
yeah,
the
I'd wear big, tall boots now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, you can go back there.
I got my hurricane boots 2 weeks okay. after Florence.
Take your clothes.
Kept getting delayed due to the storm.
Okay, we did walk those. We had identified some areas, so we can have those checked and look at them with the surveyor.
Yep.
But probably sooner before rather than later.
Yep.
Any other items, commissioners?
I want to remind the four of you and the town staff that I will be out of the country from 3 August to 4 September.
Nice.
I will try to call into the 19 August meeting.
Okay.
Enjoy your worldwide trip.
Are you sure you can get back?
No. If you don't come back, we're feeling sorry for you.
I guess 30 years
you
of government
fill in for me.
30 years of government service ought to get you some get you back in the country.
Is there potential I may need to move the August meeting?
When will we know?
I will hopefully know within the next week. I doubt it. Everything right now is tentative, but
okay.
You just never know.
We just have to give her how much notice?
7 days.
7 days. I should know within the next week.
Okay. All right.
By next Monday.
Okay.
Okay. If that's it for the commissioner items, we need to move into closed session. May I have a
I make a motion to go into closed session for the two items.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Can you get
Rock me Amadeus?
Okay, here we go, gentlemen. We're back. May I have a motion to return from closed session?
Make a motion to return from closed session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. In closed session, we covered
personnel issue and a project financial issue. No decisions were made.
Okay.
Make a motion, we close.
Second.
Motion to adjourn. It's forwarded and seconded, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Booyah.